Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Paddle Pod, your weekly podcast covering professional paddle presented by Hugo Gonce. We're on to episode 76. And as always, joined by my co-host Hugo here today. Hugo, it's great to have you on. How are you doing?
I'm very well, thanks, Gons. Just got back from a relaxing weekend down by the beach. So yeah, can't complain. It's a bit of a quick one. Went down on Friday, came back on Sunday, so 48 hours. And yeah, managed to squeeze in a bit of a paddle session last night, didn't we? With a late night match. Shame we started getting absolutely spanked by, to be fair, one of the best pairs we've played, I think, at least the level that they demonstrated yesterday. But then we did manage to turn it around, and we were pretty close to eking out a second win. Sorry, a win in the second match, weren't we?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the spanking was so hard in the first match that we actually managed to fit in two matches in an hour and a half. So you can imagine how quickly the first match went by that we actually managed to get two matches in, but better performance in the second match, so we'll take that.
Yeah, another loss in the super tie break. I mean, this is just being heartbreaking, to be honest, over the last few weeks. I mean, quite a few tie breaks and super tie breaks, but this is just the nature of the game, isn't it? Just looking forward to cracking on tomorrow because we're back on court.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you do have to give yourself the chance. So we're giving ourselves this chance, and I guess we just need to finish it, basically.
Definitely. Much like Juan Lebron seems like he's trying to do next season.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's a good way to put it, and a nice segue into the main topic to discuss, because I think that's been the main kind of bit of news over the last week. Obviously, we still haven't had, well, we haven't had a paddle tournament, or not a major one at least. There's been the Pro Paddle League over the US, and a lot of the sort of top 10 players have been playing that. And also there was a FIT Platinum over in Mexico, and some decent pairs as well have been playing that. Garrido Vera, Alex Ruiz, Alex Arroyo, for example. But I think, to be honest, the main highlight of the week has kind of been the leak or the rumor that LeBron will be splitting from Dineno, and he'll be pairing up with none other than Leo Ausburger in 2025. Now, this comes from actually a really reliable source. This is not confirmed, so at the moment it's merely a rumor, but it comes from a really reliable source. It's a Twitter account, I think, called Padel y Cervecitas. I mean, they leaked so many pairs before, and I don't think they've gotten a single one wrong. So you can almost say it's pretty much confirmed in a way. But yeah, I mean, that was a shocker for, I think, for the paddle world. And Hugo, I'd love to get your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I mean, maybe just before then, and to talk a little bit about the results of the Pro Paddle League, I think it was the Miami team led by Ari Sanchez, Agustin Dabi, and John Sanz played the Florida team. I can't remember whether it's the Florida Goats or something like
Gators.
that. Sorry?
Gators, Florida
Yeah, well,
Gators.
there you go. Led by, well, quite a few players, Gemma Triay, Arantxa Osorio, and also the Supervives, Tupan Dineno. And well, actually, the Florida team managed to win it 2-1. So credit to both Stupa, who was unbelievable. I watched some of the highlights of the week, and he was sensational. And also credit to obviously Dabio, who played an unbelievable role in getting the Miami team to the final. And then also, I wanted to just say a big congratulations to, in particular, Alex Ruiz after such a tough season. But also Alex Arroyo, who's obviously one of the young and up-and-coming stars, who managed to win the FIT tournament over in Mexico. I mean, they beat Garrido and Vera, a very informed pair, in the final, 6-love in the third set. So even though it's a three-set match, it was a dominant performance from Ruiz and Arroyo in the final. You could see Ruiz crying on the benches alongside his coach. And yeah, I mean, just very happy for him because he's just a great guy. I mean, I think he's one of the most loved guys on tour. He always has nice words for opponents when he loses, and he's struggled with injuries and also just generally form this season. And great for him to come away from that tournament with a win. And hopefully that manages to scrape a few points and maybe confirm his position in the tour finals in a few weeks' time in Barcelona. Hopefully he makes the top 16. I mean, I'd like to see him there because he's just a classic in those tour finals. But yeah, maybe moving on to the big news, as you said, I mean, Badel and Cervecitas confirmed, or they've spread this rumor about Dineno and Juan Lebron splitting at the end of 2024. And they were actually the ones who announced or pretty much confirmed Dineno and Lebron when they teamed up a few months ago. And they confirmed that Lebron was going back to the backhand. So, as you say, a very, very reliable source. I mean, I don't even know where to start. I'd say that I am very excited to watch the pair because Lebron will be back on the forehand side of the court. And as we've discussed throughout previous episodes, to be honest, since the start of our podcast, really, we both think that Lebron is more of a differential and a better player on the forehand side of the court. That's where he's reached the number one spot, both with Paquito, even though they swapped sides a little bit when they started playing, and also with Galán. And I think, being honest, if he's at the peak of his game, he's in the top three forehand players in the world, no doubt. Coello's definitely up there, and maybe the third one's up for grabs across Chingoto, based on this season's performance, Dineno, and a few other players. So very excited to see him back on the forehand. And after also a good performance in that World Cup final match alongside Galán, where obviously he played on the forehand against Tapia and Chingoto. I know they lost, but Lebron showed some of the reasons why he reached the peak of his game on that side. And obviously he's teaming up with one of the hottest prospects, Leo Asburger, who has, I'd say, confirmed his status as a clutch player based on his win in that epic deciding third match alongside Livak, where he even got injured towards the end of the game and had to beat Paquito Navarro, an absolute colossal figure in paddle, and also inform Mike Yanguas. So he's proved he can do it when it really matters. And he's had really deep runs this season. He even beat Lebron alongside Chozas. I can't remember which tournament it was in. But yeah, I mean, I'd say on paper, it makes sense. I don't want to delve too deep into it before handing it over to you, Gons, to kick us off. But I think on paper, it makes a lot of sense because they're both very aggressive players. They're going to be very fast paddle, which I think benefits both of their game styles and will play to their strengths. But as we've discussed offline, my main concern is the mental standpoint. I just think that they could easily go on and win a tournament and beat anyone if they're in form. I mean, I still want to see them play Chingalán and Tapia Nguayo, given that those two pairs are, to be honest, at a different level, particularly Tapia Nguayo. But I think they can do it based on their ability. It's just that I can also see them suddenly having a bad game in a second round match, a round of 16 match against a, you know, top 20 seeded pair, sorry, and go out in two sets because they lose it from a mental standpoint. So conflicting views. But yeah, Gons, what are your initial thoughts maybe?
Yeah, I mean, I think initially really struck by this. I didn't expect for Lebron to be this bold. And I mean, if he's shown something this year is that he will make whatever decision he thinks it's kind of best for him. And he doesn't really care about status or, you know, who he's got alongside. He's bold. I mean, he made a very bold decision in splitting from Paquito and switching sides and picking up Dineno. And now it seems like he's made probably an even bolder decision in going for a, you know, still relatively young, and he is established, but, you know, still kind of outside the top 10 player in Leo Asburger. So that's also a massive implication, I think, in terms of points, because he's going from a very comfy place and being third seed, if I'm not mistaken, to I still think they'll be in the top 10, but, you know, probably something like seventh or eighth, or I don't know. So, I mean, it's quite a big jump, and we'll see how it goes. I think from a paddle perspective, probably what he's gone for is kind of what I feel he thinks he's lacking with Dineno, which is just that ability to really finish points quickly and him not having to essentially carry the weight of the pair, I think, from both sides. So in that sense, I feel like he's doubling down into, okay, I mean, I'm good at attacking and finishing the points, and especially from a forehand perspective, because there aren't that many really attacking and aggressive forehand players out there other than him. I'm not speaking about lefties. I'm speaking about right-handed, right-sided players. And then obviously pairing him up with someone who's known for his just his attacking abilities in Lars Bolerud. So it feels like he's doubling down on that. I'm not sure if it's like a winning formula or a winning paddle, especially when I think about Leo and the current stage that he's in his career. I still think that he's got a couple of things to develop, especially defensively and just staying a bit more consistent. As you say, like you can picture this pair really easily getting to final, but then next tournament, dropping out of the first round and to go and to fight for the number one, it just doesn't feel like the right decision because I'm not sure if Leo is going to give you that consistency throughout the whole season to be able to challenge for the number one, especially when you are facing, the beasts in Goian Tapia and also Chingalan, who are just like so consistent. And then, I mean, I think the mental side is a clear one as well. I mean, massive doubts and risks there. Because you've got two players that are extremely emotional, and it will be interesting to see who coaches them. And what we've seen in the past is that normally the type of pairs that are quite successful are the ones that you have like one person can be quite emotional, but the other person's normally a bit more stable and can bring a bit more calm to the pair when things get tight and all of that. So I mean, it's going to be fireworks. I mean, it'll be a lot of fun to watch them, but I'm just not sure how successful they will be. I have, as I think both of us had our doubts with LeBron and Dineno, and if this is the case, so if LeBron actually does end up splitting and going with Leos Burger, I think that will kind of prove us right, and this gives me even more doubts. The only thing I'd say, and maybe I'll hand it over to you now because I'd love to hear your thoughts on this, is do you think Leos Budred was the first person that LeBron kind of called? Because that really surprises me, and I'm not sure if he would have been the first person or not. I think we've both spoken about how we think, for example, if LeBron was going back to the forehand, someone like Stupa would make so much sense. And I'd be really surprised if LeBron called Stupa and Stupa said no. Like I would have thought that Stupa maybe would have taken that chance. So just leaving that one out there as well.
It's a bit of a bomb you've just dropped there. So I almost need to do a bit of thinking. I mean, just to highlight one of the points that you just mentioned and what I said as well, the reason why I think they can just go out in the first round is actually not mainly down to LeBron, because we know LeBron's an emotional, we know LeBron can lose his head, but somehow he's only really had one or two stinkers with Dineno. I mean, and I wouldn't actually call losing to Tsofas and Alzurger, who obviously went on an incredibly deep run when they beat LeBron and Dineno. I wouldn't say that's a massive stinker. It was a three-set match. It was very even. So I think actually LeBron's been very consistent, even though sometimes he's lost it on the benches because he's that good. But Alzurger, he has been now and knocked out in first rounds and early on against pairs who are at his level or lower than his level on paper. So that's my bigger concern. It's Alzurger. Also, from a mental standpoint, even though LeBron is not, I mean, he is very strong. Let's be put this straight. I think he's a very strong-minded player, and he believes in himself so much that I think that's what's taken him to the peak. So I wouldn't say he's not strong-minded. Even though he loses it on the bench, I think that in the majority of instances actually sometimes gets him going, a bit like Ronaldo in football when they away fans used to scream at him and he used to say, "I love playing away. It motivates me more than playing at home." I think that gets LeBron going. But I just think that partnership, I think the mental side is more between them. That's my concern. It's because Alzurger has had issues with most of his teammates so far. We know that, or the rumor is that he's not massively liked on tour from a personality standpoint. He's quite aggressive to his partners. He pulls faces every now and then. He didn't end the best way with Livak. And when Livak and Bella beat Tsofas and Alzurger, which that was a massive surprise on paper a couple of weeks ago, Alzurger was, yeah, he seemed very pissed off and didn't seem to be very friendly with Livak, who's obviously a good mate of his, and they played together, were very successful together not long ago, and they even won that key point for Argentina in the World Cup final. So that, plus the fact that his partnership with Chothas has been incredibly explosive, I think that that added to LeBron and how we've seen him be throughout his whole career, that's my bigger doubt. It's that side of the mental kind of game that, I'm more concerned about. So I guess we'll see. But yeah, thinking about what you said, whether he must have called someone else, whether Woodard was his first pick. Being honest, if I was LeBron and I really wanted to challenge for the number one spot, which is clearly the reason why he's going for this, that, I mean, he's parting ways with Dineno because he says, hey, I can sit around third, fourth comfortably with Dineno, but I can't beat the top, top pairs. I think that's his thinking. At least that's my assumption. Who could potentially challenge Tapia and Galán in that cross-court battle and give me an edge? And when you look at the other kind of top-seeded backhand players who are Paquito, he's already played with him, Garrido, Momo, Coqui Nieto, even Alex Arroyo, those are really the other top-seeded players. Tello, I'd say that the only one that I really think could challenge Galán and Tapia is Tupa, as you said. So I'd be very surprised if he doesn't, I mean, if LeBron hasn't tried to pair up with him. Now, I would actually, funnily enough, go for Woodard as my second shot, just because of that X factor. We haven't seen him play next to one of the best forehand players in the world, even though Livak is a top player. We haven't, I mean, he's not amongst the top, top prospects yet. And so I do think that I'm more inclined to say Woodard could potentially challenge the top backhand players than saying, for example, Garrido or Momo could do it. I just don't think, I think they're in their prime, but we've seen them hit their peak or they're pretty much at the peak of their game. Whereas Woodard could go far further than what he's at the moment. He's very young and we've seen him produce some of the best smashes, for example, that I've ever seen on tour. So if he really wants to gamble and try and beat the top, top pairs, I think Woodard is probably one of his two best options. But I agree, Stupa would be my number one option. And as you say, I'd be surprised if Stupa wouldn't say yes. I know he's doing well with Yanguas recently, but their beginning or their start as a pair wasn't as expected. They suffered a bit. And being honest, I still think Juan LeBron is a level above Yanguas in terms of what he can offer in the key moments of key matches and how he can generate so many winners from the forehand side of the court. That's not to say Yanguas is not one of the other best forehand side players in the world. I definitely think he's in the top five. And I'm not saying that it wouldn't be a gamble for Stupa because LeBron's been struggling over recent years, not just injury, but form. But yeah, I mean, it's a good question. I mean, do you think LeBron called Stupa? What's your kind of take on this?
I mean, I'd be surprised if he didn't, but at the same time, for sure, Stupa would say yes. Like, I'd be, even though, you know, they just won a tournament and they got to the final, at the end of the day, I think these players are very realistic about what their situation is and, you know, with the pairs that they're at. And in many, many times we've seen pairs that seem very comfortable, Garrido Yanguas, for example, doing excellent. And then a better player with more points calls you and you're just not going to say no. And I feel like we've had the flirtation before of Stupa and LeBron. We know that they've spoken to each other. I think they also, funnily enough, do get along, I think. So I'd just be very surprised if... So in a way, I probably think maybe he actually hasn't, because if not, I just don't see Stupa saying no, really. And yeah, maybe to go back to your point around Leo and maybe other options, I definitely think that obviously what's really attractive about Leo is kind of his upside and his potential. And we've seen glimpses of it and it can be really unbelievable. I mean, he can definitely be a number one contender. I'm just not sure that he's there yet at the moment. And I feel like a lot of these things are normally, you normally see like a progression curve. And I still think that potentially it's a bit too early for him. Like, for example, I think Garrido would have been a better option. Because we've seen him progress season and season, like season after season. I still don't think he's at his absolute best. I still think there's areas of his game that he can improve. And he's just been getting better and better, a bit like Yanguas in a way. Like this season's been really good for him. And the previous one, to be honest, was also quite decent, but he was just so screwed over with all the pair changes, not to his fault. So I just think that he would have been a safer bet. Now, I don't know, maybe relationship wise wouldn't work because maybe he Lebron actually is does get more along with Habsburger. Actually, funnily enough, I remember watching a video not too long ago, and there was they did an interview with Habsburger, and they asked him like, "So who's the last like who's your most recent text message?" You know, like these random funny questions, and he actually said Lebron. So I think they actually do get along. So maybe that's like a reason why that
I
Lebron's
mean, they're
kind of.
both pretty crazy, right?
Yeah, and maybe a reason why LeBron's decided to go for him firsthand, but yeah, I mean, I just think that Ausbullet is, and I definitely think he'll have a better season next year, and he's definitely in the right path to become a number one. But if I think about like the kind of young prospects that have gotten there, so for example, Tapia, Coelho, it's kind of like you see that progress season after season. And it feels like at the moment, Leo Schburger, who hasn't won a single tournament, so you're saying that from now, who hasn't won a single tournament, is all of a sudden in 1 year going to go number one? I'm not buying that.
No, I mean, I agree. If I had to bet, I don't think he's going to go from not winning a tournament to becoming the world number one pair alongside LeBron. I agree. But I slightly disagree with your take on Garrido. I know he's had an unbelievable season. He's been one of the most improved players this season. I see so much potential in him. But I just think that when push comes to shove, I don't think he's as good as Tapia and Galán. I just don't know why. I don't have that. Sometimes you have that feeling where you see a player that can suddenly do it. And weirdly, I see that Yanguas can push that barrier and become one of those players who wins consistently, etc. And I don't know why. I just can't see it with Garrido. That's not to say that he's one of the best backhand players in the world. He's definitely in the, well, most definitely in the top 10. He might even be in the top five. It's just whether he can actually break that barrier and suddenly be the dominant backhand player. I don't see that. Whereas with Ausburger, we, funnily enough, I mean, he beat Paquito in the World Cup final. And obviously, Paquito's in that top five. So I just think that he's proved clutch in that key match, which I think is probably the main reason why LeBron's gone for him. He's probably said, hey, this young guy, 21 years old or however old he is, has put Argentina on his shoulders and absolutely, well, creamed his way to the World Cup trophy. So he's probably said, this is the guy I want next to me. He doesn't feel the pressure. I don't think he's going to go and suddenly go on a run and become the number one seeded pair. I agree. But I just think that if I were to gamble beyond Stupa, who for me is the top choice, as you say, maybe it would be Ausburger ahead of Garrido, who would actually maybe make the top three. I do think he's the best of the rest of the other guys that we mentioned, Tello or Juan Luis Brie, or I mean, there's obviously a few others, Momo and Coqui Nieto, for example. But yeah, I just think that that little X factor that Ausburger seems to have. I mean, obviously, we're always thinking about his smash. I think it's already one of the top four smashes in the game. I think that's something that can really win you games by itself. So, I mean, I guess we'll see. I mean, I am very excited to see it. What I am really curious about is the following. I saw a random thing on Instagram. We'll see whether it's true or not. But there was a rumor going around that Stupa and Yanguas won't continue as a pair. I don't know whether that's true or not. Do you think if that's the case, LeBron might hear that news? And if he hasn't called Stupa, he'll say, hey, Stupa, you know what? I didn't realize you were going to split. Come join me. I don't care about Ausburger. If you say yes, I'm switching boats because he may well do that. I mean, we saw it with Stupa himself, didn't we? Because he originally called Yanguas. Yanguas said no. So Stupa called Cardona. And then suddenly Yang Was turned around and said, actually, Stubai, yeah, I'm in. And Stubai said, okay, cool. Well, you're my number one option. So that could still happen. And I actually wouldn't put it past them. I mean, who knows between now and the end of the season what can happen? I guess it kind of depends on whether, well, Stubai and Yang Was managed to beat Chingalan again, because actually they're facing them this week in Mexico. Again, they're on the same side of the draw. Boring. Kwayon Dabia will most likely face Dinan on Lebron if they make the semis. So, yeah, I mean, I think it'll depend on their run between now and the end of the season.
Yeah, I mean, if Stupa and Yang was split, I mean, 100%, it'd be so weird if they end up splitting and then Lebron and Augsburger end up being together and Stupa and Yang was go their separate ways. Because that would feel really weird. Like, it's almost like a pair that's meant to be if kind of all these changes happen. You'd definitely see that Lebron and Stupa fit so much. So I'd just be very surprised if Stupa and Yang was split and Lebron doesn't kind of call Stupa, or Stupa calls Lebron like, hey, I'm splitting, like, let's pair up. So I'd be very surprised if that doesn't happen. And I guess maybe moving on, there is obviously the flip side to this, and there's always another half, and that other half is Martín Dineno. So I guess, Hugo, where do you think Martín Dineno goes from here?
That's the thing. I mean, if we're taking that Lebron and Osvaldo are a set pair, then, I mean, I think Dineno's best immediate option, if Stupa and Yang Was stick together, which we would assume is the case, that's why Lebron has called Osvaldo, then there's only one name in my eyes. Well, sorry, two names in my eyes. It's either Paquito or Garrido. I mean, Garrido, I think, would really suit Dineno just because they're completely opposite on court. One's ultra-aggressive, one is far more defensive. Obviously, I'm talking about Dineno. And I think their game styles would suit a lot. But at the same time, how well did Dineno and Paquito do when they were together? They got on so well, their game styles matched. And I know Dineno's become quite a different player to what he used to be. He's, at least what we saw of him last season, not what we've seen of him this season. I'd say this season's been more of the old-style Dineno, more conservative, trying to reduce his unforced error count, but also has seen his winners kind of count reduce significantly compared to his peak with Stupa. So, yeah, I mean, I think Paquito and Garrido would be his best options. And, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if Paquito and Cardona split. I don't think that's worked. I don't think they have an unbelievable chemistry on court. So I think if then Dineno calls Paquito or Paquito calls Dineno, I think it'll be a yes from both sides. I just wonder whether if Dineno has both Paquito and Garrido as cards and options on the table, which one he'll prefer, because he's already played with Paquito and things actually didn't end that well. So will he just say, I want something new, I want a new project, maybe? And in that case, it would be Garrido. But I'd say it's 50-50. I don't know what you think, Gons.
Yeah, it's I can see both sides. I mean, if I'm not mistaken as well, didn't Dineno maybe play a couple of tournaments with Garrido like ages ago? I don't know why I have this feeling. Maybe it's...
Was that it or wasn't it Chingoto Garrido?
Maybe, well, Chingoto Garrido as well, but I don't know why I'm thinking maybe Dineno for a couple of tournaments, but maybe I'm just kind of...
Fantasizing.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, both of them make complete sense. I mean, Garrido would be a really good option. Essentially, it's like a Bergamini, but improved and more points. So, you know, you'd probably better seeded and have a better draw. So I think it makes complete sense and be a big upgrade for him. And then on Paquito's side, I think as well, would be a really good upgrade for Paquito. But, you know, lately for Paquito, these kind of comebacks haven't really gone that well. We saw it with Sanyo, saw it with Lebron. So I just wonder if with Dineno, I'm not sure it would still work as well. I'm kind of more leaning towards Garrido, which I think would be really interesting and just really exciting, really fun to watch. And then finally, the last one, but I think this is kind of more of an outside option, but similar to Garrido, I think Tello as well. I think that could be interesting. Maybe, but that's more of a third option. I definitely feel like Garrido and and Paquito would be higher in kind of Martin's wish list.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good shout about Dello. I definitely think it's an option. I mean, funnily enough, before this whole LeBron, I was going to get a bomb, all the rumors that I was reading was being in I was going to get it for next season. And I think it made a lot of sense as well. I think what this really shows us is that the whole paddle fan community and probably players in general have I was going to get very high on their list in terms of what they expect from him next season. I know this season's been great, and obviously, as we said, key in that World Cup final. But I just think that players probably see something that we may not have seen that often in him, but that players probably see him train. And when you watch him in training, it's probably like, oh my God, this guy can do absolutely everything. I mean, mainly just his smash. Anything that floats, he's going to send home. So given how fast courts have been this season, I just think that if Azpilicueta manages to find a player that gives him a lot of security, not many unforced errors, because obviously Azpilicueta is a very attacking player and makes quite a few unforced errors, I think he can really go on the all the way. So yeah, I mean, going back to your point, I do think Deyo's down. I mean, it's further down on the pecking order, and not that I don't think. I mean, we've both said how much of a fan we both are of Deyo. But I still think that both Garrido and Paquito are safer options. I mean, we've got Coqui Nieto there as well, Momo González, but I just think they're too defensive for Dineno. They're more of a defensive backhand player, and I don't really see it. And well, I guess we'll see, because maybe to kick it off, sorry, to finish the episode off, I'd like to just a couple of quick questions for you. And they're kind of predictions based on what we discussed is. A, do you think LeBron and Osvaldo will actually happen? Because who knows? And B, how long do you think they'll last?
So I'd say if they do happen, I think they will. I mean, I'm fully buying what Balón Cervecitas is giving us. I mean, I trust them more than I trust Fabrizio Romano with football news. So that should tell you it. And then given that I do think that they'll pair up, I think that they won't last. I think they'll last like half a year, basically half of the season. I think by summer 2025 they would have split.
I totally agree. I mean, literally, I'd say if I had to bet my house on something, Padel y Cervecitas, who, for those of you who don't know, if we translated it, it's Paddle and Beers, so hell of a name for a Twitter account. And well, for the Padel fan community. Yeah, if I had to bet my house on something, I'd bet on what they say. So I think they will start the season together. And as you say, I think they'll have a couple of good tournaments, but I just don't think it's a long-term project. I think they're contrasting personalities, and not contrasting because actually between them they're probably quite similar, but more just explosive personalities are bound to create too much tension. Now, I don't know why, I just have a slight feeling that LeBron and Stupa is going to happen. I just don't know why. I still think that if things go as they should go based on players' levels, they're both the best options for each other. And that's why I still think it may well happen. But hey, we'll probably find out in a few months. I mean, this is one of my favorite parts of the season, to be honest, because even though we've only got a couple of tournaments left, it's all the rumors going around, and I absolutely love it.
Yeah, and then we start seeing as well like all these farewell messages and social media from players announcing the splits and all of that. So yeah, in that sense, I mean, paddle is ending, but we still get some really good stuff because all these pair changes and stuff. I think it's quite fun. But I mean, yeah, please. I think that brings us to the end of the episode. And to all kind of our audience out there, please leave your thoughts and comments. Do you think LeBron and Azpilicueta is a good pair? Do you think it will actually happen? Because just remember that it currently is. It's not really officially confirmed by either of the players. And yeah, would love to get your kind of your answers to Hugo's two questions. Do you think it's going to happen, and how long do you think they'll last?
Cheers, guys. Have a great week. Catch you soon.